This is Healthline, a joint venture of WTIC News Talk 1080 and Yale Cancer Center. Yale Cancer Center is a resource for cancer programs throughout Connecticut, developing new advances in prevention, screening, diagnosis, and treatment. On Healthline, you'll hear from some of the leading doctors in the country. Healthline is not intended to provide medical advice. Yale Cancer Center urges you to consult with a qualified physician in your community for diagnosis and for answers to your medical questions. And now, our co-hosts, oncologists Ken Miller and Ed Chu.
Good morning and welcome to Healthline. My name is Dr. Ken Miller, and I'm the director of the Survivorship Program at the Yale Cancer Center in New Haven. I'm here in the WTIC studios with my colleague and co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, who's the chief adult oncologist at the Yale Cancer Center. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ken. Healthline with the Yale Cancer Center is our way of providing you with most up-to-date information on cancer care every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m.
Each week, Ed and I are joined by a different expert from the Yale Cancer Center or a member of our community to discuss the latest information about cancer, especially about detection and treatment. And we have two goals. One of those goals is to share with you this update information and to provide help, and the other is to give hope, because there really is a lot of hope in the battle against cancer. And if you'd like to submit questions to us at Healthline, please email us at healthline@yale.edu, or you can call 1-888-234-4YCC. And if you have, if you're interested in listening to past editions of Healthline, or if you'd like to learn more about a specific kind of cancer, all of our shows are posted in written and audio format on the Yale Cancer Center website, which is www.yalecancercenter.org.
Today, we're really delighted to have as our very special guest, Christian McElvoy. Christian is, as you will hear in a very short while, simply an amazing individual, amazing athlete, who recently completed a 3,400-mile run across the country. That's right, 3,400 miles across the United States. Christian, thanks so much for being with us today on Healthline.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're really excited to have you. So, Christian, I want to ask what I think the listening audience wants to ask. What is Coast to Coast, a run for survivorship? What was it all about?
Well, I ran from San Francisco to Rhode Island to raise awareness for the issues facing cancer survivors and to raise some funds for the Yale Cancer Center and some other cancer survivorship NPs. So it was a cross-country adventure with me running and a team of individuals supporting me along the way, filming a documentary about cancer survivorship and raising awareness as we went. It was really an amazing experience, and it has been the honor of a lifetime.
Christian, on behalf of the Cancer Center, we just want to thank you for really your spirit and your dedication and commitment to cancer survivorship and also to the Yale Cancer Center. I guess the question also, I think people out there who are listening might also wonder is, so what got you interested in this whole process? What got you motivated to actually take this run across the country?
It was something very simple. My friend's mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I saw how it not only changed her life, but how it changed my friend's life as well. And he wasn't the diagnosed, but all of a sudden his whole world was changed because of his mom's diagnosis. And it hit me that, wow, this is much bigger than just a single disease. And there's something much more here than just medical care. And so getting interested, I got involved in a bike ride for cancer survivors. And that it really attracted me. The Connecticut Challenge, as everyone knows here in Connecticut, is an amazing ride. And the man who organizes that, Jeff Keith, actually ran across the country himself in 1984. Meeting him, I was inspired to do even more and to start my own nonprofit and really try to be the best I could be for this cause. And then the interesting thing is, as I traveled across the country and met survivors every day, and heard new survivorship stories every day, I became even more committed to the cause because I learned more about the need. I learned about the need across the country and the range of needs across the country and how important this is and how we need to be paying attention. So
some of the inspiration was from your own experience with a very close friend. Some of it was from the Connecticut Challenge as well. But let me ask you about your own background as an athlete. I mean, the idea of actually of running 3,400 miles is pretty amazing. Have you been a runner? And also, what kind of work have you done? We want to know a little bit about you.
Well, my mother would tell you that I have always had an energy problem without depletion issues. but yeah, I've always been an athlete. I've always been a runner. As you know, as simple as baseball. And then later in life, I was a swimmer in college and then a triathlete. But there's no way to really prepare for running across the country. And the other thing my mother would tell you about me is that I usually get into things over my head. And the water was well over my head in running across the country. And part of it was a little bit of luck that we got across. And the other part is I had, like I said, I had a great team with me. So my athletic background was certainly helpful in the run. But it really it had to do with the spirit of the team who kept me comfortable and really healthy across the country. It had to do with the spirit of survivorship that I feel like I was infused with, that, you know, that I had the heart of 11 million cancer survivors saying, you know, listen, this is something we need. And that kept me moving. So sure, there's an athletic side to, to what I did, but I think really it's more about a story of heart and a story of where I was given the opportunity to accomplish a dream for other people because I was spurred on by their spirit.
But Christian, curious, did you have to do anything special to train and to prepare for actually going through this, you know, run?
Sure, I did. I mean, I trained to be an ultra distance marathoner. I ran a lot of miles before I started. I did a lot of strength training. And then I trained on the road. One thing we did was for the first half of the country from California really to Kansas almost, we, as a team, we decided to keep my mileage low. And then, or relatively low, averaging a little under 20 miles a day. And then the
So just for our listeners out there, that's akin to running basically a marathon every day.
Right.
Well, what happened, yes, it was, but it was less than 20 miles. And then the idea was for the second half of the country, as I was fitter and stronger, to run more than that and really make up the miles so that I would average about 22 or 23, 24 miles a day by the end, but having run under 20 miles for the first half a day and running over 25 or 26 up to 30 and, you know, at times 40 and 45 miles a day in the second half. And that was really an effort to save my legs in the beginning, get them a little stronger. And the idea was that if I became very tired towards the end, I could always crawl home, you know, as I got a little closer.
Well, actually, you know, that sort of reminds me. I was there on the day you ended the run, and there was no crawling involved. Christian, I have to tell you, I'll never forget the scene. Christian's finishing 26 miles of the run and literally ran into the Atlantic Ocean, dove in. Do you remember? Can you tell us about that moment?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a very emotional moment. Leading up to that, we had a certified marathon in Rhode Island where we had 300 people running with me and really in front of me to again, as a fundraiser and an awareness raiser. And I was going to finish at the beach and then jump in the Atlantic Ocean because I'd started in the Pacific Ocean. And as I was running up, the documentary team was in a car in front of me and they were filming me and I had a microphone on and they were asking me questions and I had my good friend Bob Ford next to me. And I kept seeing the ocean through the neighborhoods of Narragansett as I got closer, and I was tearing up, and it was very emotional to get close and to actually see this and think, oh, this is over. This is 6 months of my life that I've spent running every day, and oh my gosh, we're finally here. And then I got to the ocean, and everyone said, are you going to jump in? Are you going to jump in? And I thought, man, that's going to be really cold in December. And I was really kind of dreading it. But I got up there and said, you know what? I'm only going to get one chance to jump in like this. And so I ran up and sort of did a backflop into
the
ocean.
You did.
And you know what? I didn't even feel, it didn't feel cold.
Just,
I was so happy to have been able to accomplish this. And I was so honored that so many people cared that I had gotten through it. It was special to be there. And we got on the beach and it was a great feeling. I mean, you were there and the mood of the day was amazing.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And I have to say, I expected you'd get out of the water, you'd be shivering cold, and you like did not miss a beat. Someone had some questions for you and you were talking about survivorship and about the cause, and it was pretty awesome.
I think one thing that our team knows and that one thing we learned is that the cancer survivorship community to many people is a very new idea. And the idea of cancer survivorship is a new idea. And so one of our missions is to raise awareness. And you're right. One of the things, I was a little cold once I got out into the air, but there was a camera there. And while I'm not personally incredibly comfortable behind a camera, one thing I learned is that people want to talk to me and they'll listen. And this run is a way to draw attention to something much bigger than me and much bigger than this run, to 11 million cancer survivors across the country. So one thing I try never to do, I try to never miss a beat and never miss that opportunity. And I was glad they were there, and I walked up, and because you can see, okay, this guy finishes this run, people are going to watch this on TV. And they did. On that particular news station, they showed what I said, and immediately we were talking about survivorship. And I was really pleased about that.
Well, we'd like to remind you to email your questions to healthline@yale.edu. And we're going to take a short break for a medical minute. Please stay tuned to learn more information about Coast to Coast and about our guest, Christian McAvoy.
It's estimated that over 2 million men in the U.S. are currently living with prostate cancer. 1 in 6 American men will develop prostate cancer in the course of his lifetime. Yet major advances in the detection and treatment of prostate cancer have dramatically decreased the number of men who die from the disease. New treatment options now provide hope for all men diagnosed with prostate cancer. Screening for prostate cancer can be performed quickly and easily in a physician's office using 2 simple tests, a physical exam and a blood test. With screening, early detection, and a healthy lifestyle, prostate cancer can be defeated. Clinical trials are currently underway at Yale Cancer Center, Connecticut's only federally designated comprehensive cancer center, to test innovative new treatments for prostate cancer. Patients enrolled in these trials are given access to experimental medicines, which have not yet been approved by the Food and Drug Administration. This has been a Medical Minute, brought to you as a public service by Yale Cancer Center. For more information, visit our website at yalecancercenter.org.
Welcome back to Healthline. This is Dr. Ken Miller. I'm here with Dr. Ed Chu and our guest, Christian McAvoy, who's an amazing supporter of cancer survivorship and of the Yale Cancer Center. So, Christian, I've got a question for you. Because I've actually been wondering, what do people ask you when they see you out there running? What are the most common questions?
There are a few funny ones. Number one, so are you Forrest Gump? that was by far the most often commented. But other things, why are you running? Which is a great opportunity to talk about survivorship. Mm-hmm. And how many pairs of shoes did you go through?
Okay.
Are you crazy?
What pairs of sneakers did you go through?
I went through all 33 pairs that ASICS provided me. So
did you have any to spare?
No, I went through. They sent me 33, and I went through all of them. So it was.
Wow.
It was a nice fit. But people ask the shoes. People are interested in some odd things, like where do you run? Mm-hmm. What's the route? And a lot of it was, are you crazy? And I'll tell you, the other one is moms. Anybody who's a parent, especially a mom, would say, what does your mom think of this? And is she proud? Is she nervous? And, I kind of shook my head and said, yeah, I think she's a lot of those things, nervous. Uh-huh, uh-huh. I think there are a few things that can be, as nerve-wracking as having your son running, a marathon a day across the country and not being able to control what will happen there. I think so. My mom is really a saint for dealing with it. I'll tell you that much.
So just, on a day-to-day basis, so you'd be running and then you'd have your team, your support team,
sure,
kind of there in back of you, or?
Sure. We would do sort of a leapfrogging situation where I would run 7 miles, 5 miles, 4 miles, what have you, or to the next intersection. The team would drive the Saab vehicle or the Fleetwood motorhome up to the turn or to the mile marker, and they'd wait, and I'd jump into the RV, I'd get a drink of water, and then keep on running. But there weren't any typical days on the road because we had, like I said, a documentary film crew with us who were filming survivors, and they were interviewing survivors across the country. So sometimes they were with us, sometimes they weren't. They were always doing advance work. We had high school students run with me. We had over 700 high school students run with me. And part of that is advance work, going up to the high schools, meeting the kids, telling them about what's coming, and planning those events.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there was always a constant search on the team side to find internet access, because a lot of what we did was internet research and, doing emailing and what have you. So maybe they would stop at a cafe and I would keep running, or, someone would get out on a bike with me. They're really... People always said, so what's a typical day? That was a big question. What's a typical day like? I'm like, there's no typical days.
Yeah.
It was, every day was an adventure, and that's what made it so much fun. I mean, listen, everyone says really wonderful things about me and every wonderful things about the team. But it's also important to remember that this was, the honor of a lifetime to run for such an important cause, but also the experience of a lifetime, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We were, I'm 24, I was the oldest of the road crew.
Okay.
And I was out there on the road for 6 months with my best friends.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
doesn't get any better than
no,
that.
No, no, it doesn't. You know?
And plus, you're getting a chance to really see the country and it's all its beauty. And it really
sure.
is a beautiful country.
It's amazing. And the thing is, we saw it at 25 miles a day. And you don't... and. You know, people drive across the country, but they blow through little towns. And we got to meet people. We, you know, mm-hmm. we shook hands, and we have email addresses and phone numbers for people all across the country. I feel like I have, you know, several hundred homes now across mm-hmm. the country, and that's an amazing thing. Our country is an amazingly generous and hospitable place, and sometimes I think people overlook that or they forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, in one sense, this trip restored my faith in humanity. That sounds mm-hmm. kind of cliche, but it just meeting these people reminded me that there are amazing people out there, and it's you find them every day in every town and every city.
Christian, along those lines, you know, you met a large number of survivors. Any stories that you remember particularly well that you're going to carry with you and you want to share?
Sure. You met Kathy Van Riper.
I did.
Kathy was a huge inspiration. I met her in San Francisco, or just outside San Francisco. She is a 6-year breast cancer survivor. She is still undergoing treatment. She's got kids and an amazing husband and just an amazing support network. And she's got an amazing outlook on the disease itself. And she says, you know, I don't have time for cancer. Even though her cancer is effectively terminal, she isn't willing to submit, and she doesn't want her life to change. She doesn't want to miss the moments she still has. And that was incredibly inspiring to me. And it also taught me a lot about myself, and it made me look at myself and say, you know, what do I hold is very important? And what does Kathy hold is very important. You know, why is she smiling all the time? Because it seems to me that she doesn't have a whole lot of reason to smile sometimes, but she was always smiling. And it got to me that, you know, maybe I could learn something from her. Mm. So, I mean, I guess in one sense, it's a selfish story that I took something from her. But she was an incredibly inspiring person and became a friend. And then there's Chris Walsh, who lives in, he's from Fairfield, Connecticut. He lives in South Bend. And he's got kids and he's got an amazing support network, but he was an athlete.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one of the big things with him is he just, he couldn't do what he wanted to do. He couldn't be an athlete as I was. And he missed that the most because of his treatment. And it struck me that one of the important things about survivorship care is treating people as if, you know, treating people in the sense that they need to be who they are, mm-hmm. and allowing people and allowing survivors to continue their lives and continue mm-hmm. to be who they are. Because you can't, it's the survivors I met, when their identities were stripped from them, that was the hardest part. It wasn't the chemo. It wasn't any of the physical aspects. It was, mm-hmm. wow, I can't do these things I used to do.
You know, I want to mention along those lines. I have to say, I usually do not use the term cancer patient. I usually talk about yes. people with cancer.
Yep.
Because, you know, my wife had cancer 7 years ago. And you know, Joan's a runner and a writer and a mother and a wife and a lot of other things. And she did have cancer. But I think your point's very well taken that, you know, you want people to be who they are.
Exactly. And I think that was what I learned from everyone that I met across the country, that cancer to me, before I started this run, was a disease that that patients got, if you will. And what I understand now is that there are lives that are changed, and they are individual lives, and it's impossible to group them into different categories, because each life will be changed in a different way. And the care of the whole person and the individual person seems to be incredibly important. And that's what struck me. And what I started to do is realize, as I met these survivors, that I stopped hearing about cancer and I started hearing about their lives.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And cancer became a blip on the radar screen, and it just became, and this is how it affected how I couldn't do this. It was like almost like an injury in an athlete. It changed the way they had to play the game, and that was really upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as part of my ongoing mission now, I'd like to find a way to help alleviate some of that for as many people as possible.
Well, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and have a little more time to talk. And please, I want to remind you that you can email your questions to us and to Christian McAvoy at healthline@yale.edu. And we're going to take a short break to listen to a survivor's story, which is very apropos.
A few years ago, the diagnosis of cancer was a death sentence for many patients. But today, thanks to advances in clinical research, we're turning the corner in the battle against cancer. There are over 10 million cancer survivors now living in the U.S. They are the true heroes in the war against cancer. Here's the story of a hero from Hamden.
10 years ago, when I was diagnosed with aplastic anemia, there was no cure. After teaching math for 35 years, I was forced to retire. Then I met Dr. Tom Duffy at the Yale Cancer Center. He told me about a new procedure called a mini stem cell transplant. He encouraged me to put my life in the hands of Dr. Stuart Seropian, one of the few doctors in the country doing this procedure. On January 17, 2004, I had a stem cell transplant at the Yale Cancer Center. At age 70, I feel like a new man. I owe a great debt of gratitude to the terrific staff at Yale Cancer Center. They literally saved my life.
This survivor story has been brought to you by Yale Cancer Center.
Welcome back to Healthline. This is Dr. Ken Miller. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, and our guest, Christian McAvoy. So, Christian, I'm going to start out with an email question that we got for you, which is, in 3,400 miles, how many steps is that approximately?
Well, it's we've done it out, and obviously this is approximately, but it's about... Well, it's about 10 million steps, which is sort of apropos, to use your word, to the, you know, across the country, we were saying there was always 10 million American cancer survivors, roughly. Right. It was always nice, to, roughly 10 million steps. Mm-hmm. But my steps shortened as I got across the country. My stride shortened. So, you know, who knows?
Now, I have another question for you. As you know, a number of the faculty decided to donate a certain amount per mile. We'll leave that unclear. But you know, the more you ran, the more it was. Were you ever tempted to keep running, run back across the other way?
I'll tell you, I thought about it more than once. I thought about turning around and running home. It was, again, the experience of a lifetime, and who wouldn't want that to stop? But I think what was special about this was that it was a finite amount of time, and that it was it couldn't go on forever. And it was great, yeah. But I'm still running now. So in one sense, yeah.
Good.
I'd love to run home.
So Christian, in the last segment, you mentioned that you had a film crew as part of your support team, and you're having a documentary film that's really kind of, I guess, chronicling your journey, but also this film crew filmed cancer survivors across the country. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about that.
The film is really not about me, and it's not about my run. It was just, the run was an opportunity to have this film crew on the road with us for 6 months. And the two filmmakers filmed almost 100 hours of interviews with cancer survivors all across the country. Different types of cancer, different stages of survivorship, from newly diagnosed to 25 years out. And they are making a film, a 60-minute documentary film about cancer survivors. And the idea is to raise awareness of the issues facing survivors. The filmmakers, Leslie Estelle and Kristen Coleman, are now working down at Fairfield University to cut this film together. And I think it's going to be a pretty amazing thing when it's done. It's something to look forward to in the summer of 2007.
Who do you want to share the film with?
Anyone who will watch.
Yeah,
I think that's the key to raising awareness for any issue, is trying to get it into as many hands as possible. And I think that this is something that many people will identify with and they will be interested in, because everyone is affected by cancer. And I think this has been done before. I've never seen interviews across the country with people talking about their lives almost according to cancer, you know, with, and again, talking about their diagnosis as a blip and talking about, okay, here's what I did before, here's my diagnosis, and this is, you know, the medical aspects of the diagnosis, but then here's how my life changed afterwards. I think that's a really interesting thing. And I think Leslie and Kristen are really excited to put this film together, and they're doing a great job. I've seen a lot of the footage, and it's amazing. It's in HD, so it's also absolutely gorgeous.
Well, we certainly look forward to seeing it, because it does sound like it'll be a very powerful experience to observe. I think one of the things that you touched on also is that cancer really affects not only the individual who's affected, but also all of the family members and the caregivers. And so even though, I guess, and we've talked about this on previous shows, you know, relating to cancer survivorship, and obviously, you know, Ken has played an integral role in establishing our survivorship program here at the Cancer Center. But I think it's estimated, really, and maybe Ken, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but perhaps 3 out of every 4 individuals in the United States really could be considered cancer survivors, because in some way they're touched mm-hmm. by cancer as a disease.
Yeah, we found that in speaking with survivors, just as I'm sitting here talking about my team as I ran across the country, survivors immediately go to their team, mm-hmm. to their caregivers, to the people, their support network, and say, wow, and this is how it changed their life. This mm-hmm. is how it changed our family life, my work life, my social life, and really focusing on those individuals that were an integral part of their cancer survivorship experience. And I think that's a very powerful thing too, mm-hmm. because we live and die with our loved ones. And when they have issues and problems that, you know, it's almost like it's happening to us. And while it's medically not, certainly socially it is.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking about your career as a teacher, this sounds like it's also a wonderful opportunity for you to teach about cancer survivorship from the people who taught you, the survivors that you interviewed along the way.
Sure. I think teach is a tough word because it connotes something a little different. But I think it is an opportunity for me to share mm-hmm. What I've learned and my experiences. And that's a goal of mine, again, with the film and with I'm going to be doing some speaking, and to just share my experiences and say, listen, I don't have the answers here, but here's what I've seen, and here's the awesome experience I've had. Let's work together. And I think that's what the community needs. And I think, you know, that's why Yale Cancer Center and the survivorship program there is so ideal, because that's the attitude, you know, around this, you know, this whole program is, let's work together, let's put the best minds in the same room and have a conversation about how we can make this a better experience.
You know, a lot of our development as people occurs when we're younger, but it sounds like there's an awful lot of growth that occurs after a tough experience like cancer. Is that what you found?
Oh, I think so. I think a survivor changes immensely, and that diagnosis changes them. And you know, three out of four times that I asked this question of a survivor, I said, if you had it to do over again, would you not have cancer? And I really can't remember somebody who said, of course, I'd not have cancer. I would go through my life without it. They say, you know, cancer was tough, but it changed me. Mm-hmm. And it made me a better person, and it's part of me now. And, you know, and I'm comfortable with who I am, which I think is an amazingly powerful sentiment. And I'm not so sure I've completely internalized it yet to really understand what that means.
So, Kristen, maybe we can pose the question to you, because even though you haven't experienced cancer, right, this whole experience was about cancer survivorship, increasing cancer awareness, yeah. right? So how has this whole experience changed you as an individual and in your whole outlook on life?
Wow, that's a long question. I think it's certainly made me more appreciative. I've spent a lot of time personally being a wayward son, if you will, running across the country and going out and searching for something in the world. And what I've realized is that some of the best things in my life are really at home, my family, my friends. And I've learned to really appreciate them and my support network much more. And I've also learned that I have a lot more to learn. I mean, it seems very simple, but I've learned that with the survivors I've met, each experience is unique, and there is absolutely no way for me to know everything. And there's absolutely no way for me to group these experiences into any categories. And so I've learned to take each individual and treat them as an individual.
Very quick question for you. You did an awesome thing. You raised $235,000 through your efforts, which is truly amazing. What's your goal for the money you raised?
To help survivors. It's really that simple. One thing I said across the country, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a professional, I can run. And I'm looking to turn the money over to people who know what they can make of it.
Well, in closing, I'd like to thank Christian McAvoy for being with us today on Healthline. And we want to encourage you.
Yeah, Christian, it's been great having you. And on behalf of the Cancer Center, again, we thank you. for all of your tremendous support. And for Dr. Ken Miller, this is Ed Chu from the Yale Cancer Center, wishing you a safe and healthy week.
You've been listening to Healthline, a joint venture of Yale Cancer Center and WTIC News Talk 1080. Join us next Sunday morning from 8:30 to 9 a.m. for another edition of Healthline on WTIC News Talk 1080.